We're holding here on page 276 in Parshas Vayechi, and the first one is a Rambam about Baruch Shem Kodem Chutzoy Lo'olam Va'ed. It's interesting, it's one of those things in Tefillah that it's become so much part of it that we don't think twice where it comes from. It's kind of strange because the Torah has a Parsh of Shema, it's a real Parsh of Torah, and we stick in Baruch Shem Kodem Chutzoy kind of uninvited. So the Rambam explains, Akore Kriya Shema Kishu Gome Pasuk Rishon Omer V'Lachash Baruch Shem Kodem Chutzoy Lo'olam Va'ed. When you say Kriya Shema, after the first pasuk, you interrupt and you say Baruch Shem Kodem Chutzoy Lo'olam Va'ed. V'choze V'kore K'darko V'afes Hashem Elokech Atzeifa. And then you continue laying V'hafta till the end. So the Rambam says, V'loma K'orin K'ein. Why indeed do you read it in a strange way? It's a passionate Torah, and it's a mitzvah to read it in a certain way. So he says, "Mesoros hibiyadenu shebeshar shekibet Yaakov in etzbon of Mitzrayim b'shas misaso." We have a mesoros, a tradition in Torah Shabbat Peh, that when Yaakov gathers children of Mitzrayim on his deathbed, tzivam v'zirzum al yichud Hashem, he was mitzvah them, and he instructed them, and he sort of urged them to be mischazik in Yichud Hashem, v'al derech Hashem shalach b'Avraham Yitzchak Aviv, and on the derech Hashem b'Avraham Yitzchak, v'shor loisem v'amu lahem, he asked them, Bonai, shem yesh b'chem paslus, mishenem im Yichud Hashem, maybe somebody, one amongst you is not with me on this, in yesham lo amoish rabbeinu pen yesh b'chem isha isha v'goyme, onu kulam v'amu shma yisho Hashem akin Hashem echad. So they all answered Shema Yisrael Hashem Akein Hashem Echad, Kloima Shema Mimena Vin Yisrael. They were addressing Yaakov Avinu Shema Yisrael, meaning Yaakov Avinu, Hashem Akein Hashem Echad. Pasuk Hazak in Vama Baruch Shem Kodem Chutzoy Lo'olam Va'ed. So Yaakov Avinu said Baruch Shem Kodem Chutzoy Lo'olam Va'ed. Lefikach Nogu Ko Yisrael Leima Shevach Shashav Yisrael Hazakin Acha Pasuk Zeh. That's why all of Klal Yisrael is noyik to say this. It's a very strange Rambam. The Rambam rarely digresses into the Shakla Vitaria of the Gemara and the Sugya and so on. It's a Chazal, it's a Gemara Psachim, but it's something, it's Medrashim, it's something that doesn't quite fit. Where's the Rambam coming from? And what is he telling us with this? If he wanted to do time and minhagim and tefillos, then he could really write a very large chibur on it. I think what the Rambam is saying over here is, bemis it's schwer to understand. It's nice that we try to remember what Yaakov did, but to make it part of the tefillah, and secondly, to interrupt the middle of a parsha, we know that we don't say piyutim at the minig of the yeshiva world is not to say any piyutim on Tol Shemoneh Esrei, because you're breaking into an inyan. It's a sanchek nesak dola, and you can't barge in with your own piyut. Shemoneh Esrei is a makram tefillah, and you can add piyutim. But other places we see as a hefsik. This is an incredible hefsik between Shema and the parasha. What the Rambam I think found in the Gemara is that just like today on brachas we answer amen. It used to be on brachas, Marshall, you answered Baruch Shem Kod Machus Olam Ved. Baruch Shem Kod Machus Olam Ved is a response to Shema Yisrael. So even though we don't say Shema, we're not saying Shema Yisrael in a reciter response mode, but it is an appropriate response. So just like answering Amen on Bnei Yerushalayim, is appropriate. It over here also, the Baruch Shem Kod Malchus Shalom Ved is an appropriate response to the Shema Yisrael we said. So we're not interjecting with some side point, but this is appropriate. And that's what the Rambam found there, and is explaining it is a response to Shema Yisrael, and this is what it means. Yes.
Rabbi, why doesn't the Rambam also bring the reason why we say it in Chashai, that, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say
it? So I think that's already That's already minhag. That's already, that is already secondary. It doesn't need to be explained. I mean, it's, when you say chashai or the kol ram, that's, you know, there's no kasha there really. It's not like how to interrupt in the middle. So that would be a good reason why the Ram does not need to say it. And also, it's not the it's not significant in what we're doing Baruch Hashem Kodno Chuso. I think, though, that the I want to explain also how Baruch Hashem Kodno Chuso is a response to Shema Yisrael in the Svarim, the Zohar, and others, and later. They talk about Yichud Eloh, Yichud Patah. I want to briefly just explain the point over here. Shema Yisrael is an affirmation that in essence nothing exists but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a truth that is absolute, but certainly not the visible truth, certainly not what we see around us. We surround us a diverse world with many, many mechanisms. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the only show in town. That's our metzias. It's a metzias of many, many worlds. The Baruch Shem Kodesh Husay Lelavad is a tefillah that the echad of HaKadosh Baruch will be mispashet to the world, and the world in its entirety add up to Hashem Echad, visibly so. So that's really the point of this response to Shema Yisrael Shekhan Shekhan. We wish it to happen. Okay, the next point is a Ramban, quite a famous Ramban, on Lo Yosef Shevet Mehuda Mechok Meraglov. The Pasuk tells us that you're not allowed, Shevet Yehuda is allowed to be, is the only Shevet for whom Manaki has been designated. Now, the malachim before David, like Shaul, that's not a kasha, but because the pasuk is seems to mean afterwards. But we'll see in a second in Ramban about others. Well, the Fidaiti says, "Hayu hamalachim hamolchon Yisrael mishar shvatim achad David oivram das aviyam avir nachla." Those who later on took over the melucha were being over on that which David said. And they relied on the Nevuah of Achia Shiloini, who said, when he anointed Yerubim Nevat, he said, "I am going to create an alternative kingdom to serve as a disciplinary measure against David." But he himself said, but not forever. It's a temporary measure. And when Malchus Yisrael kept having one king after another king, with no indication of going back to Malchus David, they were over on that tzavah, and like Kemoshama Yishaya Heimim Lichub Lo Mimeni. I would like to make just a note. It's interesting that Lo Yosef Shevet Mi Yehuda becomes a mitzvah or an iser. We know, A, that things that were written before Matan Torah, unless they got repeated again, in other words, there has to be a mitzvah in Matan Torah, it's more Tariq mitzvahs. We don't have that over here. So it is strange in the fact that it became a real iser. I don't know if he means it's a real iser, or he means that it's a, he means to say that they should have known it's wrong. I don't know, I'm not sure.
It's a tzavah.
What?
It's a tzavah.
So here we, what I'm trying to say is here we find something which gives no indication of being in the world of mitzvah, whatever it is, and yet it's something which is binding on them. Like you said, it's a tavor. Okay. So he says, So the Ramban is touching on a very sensitive nekuda here. We just finished Hanukkah, and the Hashmonaim were big heroes, and they, you know, it's all about the Hashmonaim. But if you follow history, the Hashmonaim were afterwards were terrible. They were the ones who themselves, the children, the grandchildren, great grandchildren, they were the ones who brought Rome in. They themselves were Hellenized. They themselves brought Rome in and created the Churban eventually. And that's something stunning that the people who brought the Nes Hanukkah also brought the Churban Beis Hamikdash. And not them, but the children and so on. So he says that was the punishment. Ki hoyu chaside elyon. They were great tzaddikim. V'lmolei heim nishtakhu ha-Torah mitzvos in Yisrael. And if not for them, Torah mitzvos would have disappeared from Yisrael. V'af al pekei nensho in Yisrael, and still they were punished very severely. Ki arbas b'nei chashmonei ha-zokim. Achsidim ha-mochum zeach ha-zeh. Im kol gros ha-zechosim nofli ha-reveim b'chorev. The four children of the chashmonei ha-zokim all were killed. V'igia einesh b'soif l'mashom razal komandom es chashmonei kasina avdehu. That anyone who says I'm from Chashmonoi is really a slave, because it was all Hordes who took it over. Shenichesu kulam b'vayin hazeh. Ve'af al pishay b'zer eshimen einesh min atztukim. Even though some of the Chashmonoi children, Shimon's children were tztukim, av kol zarem atasiyah Chashmonoi tzadik lo yavu, but Nasiyah's children were not over. Elo b'avozeh shemolchu. The reason, the avera that caused them also to be exterminated, is because they ruled b'leihar mezer Yehuda beistavit. They were not of Zer Yehuda beistavit. V'hisiru ha-shevet of echoikek legamri, and they took away monarchy completely from Yehuda. By oin shemida keneged mida, and that's the element of mida keneged mida. Oinish shehim shokad shprocha lehem esavdeim be'michrisim. So it was sort of, the oinish was that the, just like they were not supposed to usurp the malchus of Yehuda, and they usurped the malchus that was not theirs, so too their own avadim destroyed them. The Efshe Gamkein, he says a second aspect is shehoya lehem chet b'malchusam neishoy kahanim v'tzitavu tishmes konaschem v'chol dvar mizbeach v'beis ha-pareves avadis matana etein es konaschem. He says there might be a flip side of it also, that by becoming they were Kohanim, and as Kohanim did their own duties to execute, and by doing Malchus that would get in the way of it, and they were guilty of neglecting that what they're supposed to do. Reza Bishalmi said this Horius, he saw both reasons in Yushalmi. It says Ein Moshchem Elohim Kohanim. You can't make Kohanim into kings. Omer Yehuda Anturia Hashem Lasa Shevet Yehuda. Omer Ruchia Baba the Man Yarech Yom Amamach Tehu Bono Bekerav Yisrael Maxi Basrei Lo Yila Kohanim Alevim. Hine Shana Bekan. So the Yerushalmi here has two different reasons. He says there are two reasons. Hine Shana Bekan Shem Moishchem Lachem Kohanim Ne'aren Upirish Tchila Shulachvoy Yehuda. She'ein asroros sorem and hashevet ahu. Olafikach apalpi she'yisrael mekim aleh melech mishar ha'shvotim v'zeh ha'shoh. So even though Kal Yisrael could make a king if they needed for a specific moment, there was no king from Yehuda, they needed somebody else. But ein moish chenoysom, you don't anoint them. She'loy aleh hoyd malchus. They don't have that extra regal dimension of Malch Yehuda. Elikum ha'shev v'shev Yehuda. They're executors, they're the managers. And the chiddush is even kohanim who are anointed, a moishchun oisam l'shem malchus. Because she is shashvatei v'shomu b'gemara she moishchun malchus beistavit. And Reb Chiya Baba says that the reason is because kohanim are supposed to neglect their duties. There's a very interesting there's a story from the Chofetz Chaim, quite famous. There was a wealthy man in Radin, or wherever he was at the time, and this person gave a lot of stock. He was a business, successful businessman, gave stockers and so on. And one day, the Chofetz Chaim noticed him at the very early minyan. like he was davening a pesikin, or he was saying Tehillim with the Chavetz Chaim before Allah Yisrael Shachar, and whatever. And the Chavetz Chaim came over to him and he said, when a soldier is AWOL, it's not only if he runs away from the army to the beach, but if a guy from the Navy starts flying an airplane, he's the same, he is AWOL as much as the person that's left completely. The fact that you're still fighting for your army, if you're not in your unit, it's just as bad. In other words, he told him, your place in the society is to support all the good things. If you decided to become a Tillum Yid instead, and you're busy saying Tillum, that you are neglecting what you're supposed to do. In other words, within the realm of Avodah, there is what one is supposed to do, and so on. I know Maisa, somebody who, as a bachur, didn't overlearn terribly well, and went into the Olam of Mischer, did extremely well, did very, very well. Also, as time went on, he became older, more serious, and began to get into learning. And at the age of 40, he basically had enough money to retire on very comfortably. And he was thinking of going to Kerlin, sitting and learning. And he asked a few gedolim. They all told him he has to continue doing what he's doing. But one of them put it in the following way. He said, there is Shevet Zvulun and Shevet Yisachar. If you make as good a Yisachar as you are a Zvulun, then no one has the right to tell you that you have to keep being a Zvulun. But if you're a fantastic Zvulun and an okay Yisachar, then you have no right to change Shvatim. There's a certain sense of what's my role, what am I needed for, a person needs to know what is the job he should be doing and not take someone else's job for two reasons. A, it's the other person's job. Two, you're neglecting your job. Okay, the next piece is a Tshuvas HaRashba, a very interesting Tshuvas HaRashba. It's interesting, but the Rashba wrote a lot of Tshuvas. I mean, I'm not even sure we have all of them, but what we have is thousands of them. And he also wrote different things in Ashkafa. And he also, this one is going to be about a debate that he had with Gentiles. There was quite a common sport, especially in Spain where he lived. They were always busy calling debates and stuff like that. We might think that today that we're much more tolerant, we've gone up in Madrega. It could also be that we couldn't care all that much, and so I'm not sure that we're in a higher Madrega than the Spanish Galachim, or because we were in a lower Madrega. Okay, Lulam is na Yehuda Losha Moim Imes Ksav Yosha, Yosha Beina Lichtav Lifneichem. He says, in order to teach people how to respond, I felt I ought to write this, because somebody told me that one of the Yishmaelim spoke to him. Now, I don't know if he means Yishmaelim Muslims, or he didn't want to write Christians because it was sensitive, and I'm just not sure. Because it wasn't, I don't think the Yishmaelim were the ones that were, I didn't think it was the Muslims that did it, but I don't know. And also the Muslims did not, Mashiach wasn't a Muslim topic. So I'm not quite sure, but be it as it may. And I told you what to respond. Al-Kain Ra'isi Lichta V'Sefes V'Kech Imi. I felt it was appropriate to write down in the safe our argument. Echad Mechamein Boisant Varem. And basically, he said, I will try to outline you briefly what I said. Amar Chalek, he said, the person arguing, he said, Ki HaMashiach Kvar Ba, Mashiach already came, V'raya, Sh'omar Yaakov, B'Birchah Ezbonav, Ashi Yikara Yisabach Zayomim. Yaakov, when he blessed his children, he said, L'yos HaShev, Yehudu Chalek B'Raglov, Ak Yav Yishila, Shil Zah Mashiach. And he says, V'atem Moidim, Yom Moidim, V'kashat Tegam HaMetargim. That's exactly the way it was translated. It says in the Pasuk, until Mashiach doesn't come, Yehuda is the ongoing kings. Well, if Yehuda is not the ongoing kings, obviously Mashiach has come, which was proof to their point of view that their Messiah had come with the phasing out of Malchus Yehuda. Amati, so the Rashbi answered, Ein milas ad mer lahasig mikam ve'elich. Ad doesn't mean until a certain time. Ela pa'omim maftiach habir sinyan v'koshim mashachov. It's as if he's saying, if I say I will not cease to work for you until I'm supporting you, until I found a job for you, it could also mean that if you lose a job afterwards, I'll certainly do for that. V'ha'eid, araya, ki lo yazavcha ad Hashem asis asher debatelcha, I won't leave you without doing what you asked for, doesn't mean he's going to stop doing it once it's done. Ve'en ozeh hefzik, shem ken lo avtacha se'ezer, aklaz azim v'gavelech. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll help you just one time, that wouldn't be a bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will keep helping you. It also says, L'mashal, V'kosim Mavtiach HaNitzchon Ayvim, the pasuk when it promises that we'll vanquish our enemies, V'Israel Tanu, it says, L'yisatzev ish b'fanecha ad yishmit ha'isam. No one will stand before you until you manage to destroy them. Again, it doesn't mean to imply that once it's done, people will then rise against you. See, it's the other way around. It means no one will rise against you until they're all destroyed. That's a climax, not an interim. And David said, when he told Shlomo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'yapol le'azvecha ad l'chlois kol nechzav v'yitzes Hashem. So the word ad, you're twisting it out of its meaning. Ad doesn't mean that only until then. It means sort of forever in that sense. And it means I will not, Yehuda will become Melech and will forever stay Melech. Chaza Oyda Tzarach Avama, see, argue the other way around. Okay, he says, but his prophecy has been disproven. He said Yehuda will not lose monarchy, and he's lost it. Amati im iftachas Yaakov no shosim Yehuda dvar Mashiach, v'lo yisor golus be golus bavel shgam harav gam Mashiach shatome. If that's true, he says it stopped way before your Mashiach came because it happened in golus bavel. There was no after that. There were no more kings from Yehuda. So how could that be? Even according to you. So he said, no, the Sanhedrin was there, and they were dealing in Fashas. So he said, first of all, in the Rashboya, there's two reasons that to make sense. First of all, in Bavel, they were not dealing in Fashas, and not near Shlaim either, Abashon of Yachorim, so it's clearly not that. Secondly, he says, Ve'oid, I'm skipping a bunch of lines, Kizem Yaakov Yehuda. It's a promise to Yehuda. Ve'en Sanhedrin min Yehuda. Sanhedrin don't do with Yehuda. And then he says, third of all, Void Shlishis, Kivlechna Megolos V'Shalzor Sobaz Mishayim Ad Bavol Le'Yoshem Le'Lodin Le'Zaz Davasor. When they went into Golos, they didn't have any Sanhedrin. They had nothing. Amas, he said, okay, Im Kein L'Dvarecha Manasseh L'Sakav. You're right. So you tell me. Okay. He said, you've asked me a good question. Tell me what you think the answer is. Amartis Rashba said, Amitas Pesachosat Kahu, Lo Yosef Shevet Mi Yehuda La'ad. It will not, the word La'ad means that the loss of monarchy by Yehuda will not be forever. In other words, he will lose it, but not eternally. Kilabesoif Yobay Shiloh Shumezaro Vetosha Lamam Locha. There will be Melech HaMashiach will come back. So what he's saying is there may be interim periods that there won't be Malchus in Yehuda, but not forever. But Taina Bezen, understanding, he says, Vein echad mikol says everyone had, every single shevet had a melech or shevet. Avo mipneishin en achlahem, because it's not theirs, kishesara salaylam. So once they lost it, they lost it. Avo saras Yehuda Yerusha hiloi. But Yehuda's, for Yehuda Manaki is his Yerusha. V'loy yikam lachatiyah. And he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise to Yisrael wasn't that they won't go into Golas and they'll always what he promised was that that Malchus will be forever, meaning if he loses for any time it's going to come back to him, because at the end of days there will be a Shiloh who's Mashiach Mizaro, and he will gather the nations and he'll come back to its rightful owners, which is Yehuda. And therefore the Rashba concludes the Milas Ad V'makon Hazeh K'moy La'ad. The word Ad means not it will never be lost from Yehuda, but it will never be lost forever. It will, the word La'ad is the type of loss that will not happen. So Yehuda will never lose it forever. And this is sort of going in line with what he said over here, that the Malchus to Yehuda is inherent to Yehuda, and that's why it's his forever. The whole musig of Yerusha, we've seen before, I think it's a chinuch we've seen, that Yerusha is always because it's part and parcel of the when somebody gets something, when somebody is zeicha to something, that should be his be'etzim. In other words, Akarish, in our perspective, things that are temporary are almost as if they don't exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with things that are eternal, because eternal means that's something that is inherently so. So if I say that someone that this karka belongs, if we take a look at the system that the Torah put into place for Yerusha and karka and achuz ve'achuza and stay mikne, the Torah very much made it clear that the place that we have in Eretz Yisrael is ours forever, not only on a national level, but on a personal level. And that's why anything that we have, the land that we have as our Yerusha, stays forever ours. We can sell it, but that selling is a rental, really, and it goes back in Yovel, because Eretz Yisrael and the Yerusha and Nachas Yisrael are part of the core. It's part of the core given of each and every person. So each and every person also has a Yerusha and Yisrael. It means it's his, and the disruptions are always temporary. So things that are ours and keep coming back to us as a default setting implies that those things are really, really part and parcel of ourselves. And that's why it's so important. So the Torah set up a system where the land that is ours, the Nachla, can never be lost permanently. We can always rent it out for up to 50 years, but we can't lose it permanently. And over here, the Malchus, the Haftacha was Malchus belongs to Yehuda. How does that express itself? Not that they can't lose it, because then it would be sort of taking away the ability to rectify avarice and stuff like that. But they can't lose it forever. This is their Nachla, and therefore it belongs to Yehuda Be'etzim. It can be different times and different years, it could be taken away for the sake of fixing Yehuda and getting through Tshuva and so on, but it can't be taken away eternally because it's part and parcel of Judaism. Yes?
So according to this Rashba, then the Chashmonaim, them being Malachim, wouldn't necessarily be the problem. It'd be more the problem of them not fulfilling their tafkidim with Kohanim, because this can go away.
Very, very possible. Yeah, that's interesting. Or they didn't give any indication. If they would have moved on their own, that would be the way in which the Malchus would come back. The fact that they gave no indication of that, they had to be moved out, they had to be eased out, kind of. Okay, we'll hold it here.